Byron Radio.
Excellent. The message is made and it's quite clear. William Coles is a journalist and a writer of love stories. He is currently embroiled in an epic series of romances, which, with luck, will comprise at least 10 novels. 5 of these books are already out, including most recently The Woman Who Dared to Dare, published last year by Thames River Press. Most of his love stories end badly. That is about to change. Capital letters. I'll say again, capital letters. At the end of 2015, a friend, Gurv Cottam, asked, begged, pleaded for a story with a happy ending. That story is being written right now, and of course it's going to be the first in a long series of love stories. The main difference being, these will be funny, gloriously uplifting love stories which will all end happily ever after. Not my words. The words in the About the Author section of my latest William Coles purchase, The Eton Affair. Wow.
Yes, The Eton Affair. I'm afraid that one is badly, of course, but that's the story of first love.
Ah, well, it always does, doesn't it? Let's face it, it's always a problem from that sort of point of view. Anyway, moving on. William, you have the wonderful role of being in the number one position in terms of our telephonic contactees. You can comment on the fact that, as my little pet theory goes, the reason Donald Trump was so concerned with respect to Kim DeRock, he thought it was actually Dwayne Johnson, Dwayne DeRock Johnson, not Kim DeRock. And that's one of the reasons. It's easily mistaken. You know, for Donald, it's the sort of thing which clearly he'll understand. I'll share that with Phil Leonis later on, find out what Los Angeles thinks. But, you know, I mean, you were a Washington correspondent for many a year. Do you think that's a viable one there? I mean, you know, after last night's gigantic battle of the extraordinary two contenders for number 10 Downing Street, and well done, Julie Etchingham, for keeping up a good appearance, I think, at least of mugging to the camera, when she actually said, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Johnson. Time and time again. Have you just been busy baking bread and things, Bill? Or is it a case of... I don't care.
Yes, I've been baking bread. The Hairy Biker's potato bread recipe. Ooh. You use half flour and half mashed potato. It's brilliant. I would recommend it. Just Google Hairy Biker's potato bread.
And I do believe that if we're to take this social media that was set up by Mark Zuckerberg quite literally, you are not actually presently in Edinburgh.
I'm in Suffolk.
To be precise, Cavendish Hall, Suffolk. Not too precise, because we don't want all the Bill Cole stalkers to suddenly sort of, you know, flock upside. Bill, give us some food. But as you can see...
Yeah, I'm in Cavendish Hall, exactly. Cavendish, believe it or not.
I know, exactly. Anyway, we have this line, Bill Coles tries his hands at a tortilla. And then, as if by some kind of sequential magic, the like of which Hollywood would actually kill for, we then have Bill Coles, baker. Emma, you're used to, obviously, Bill's namesake, of course, William Sitwell, and his views sort of alive and all the rest of it. So he's taking a break for summer break at present. What are your views on Bill Cole's little product there that he's holding lovingly? It's a bit like a baby, I think. It's like, rock the baby, rock the baker.
Yeah. It's very similar when you do baking. You know, you see it as a little baby when it comes out. You've made it, put it all together. But I've got to say, is that mashed potato in bread, though? That doesn't
What do you think? Are you tempted, Emma, or is it not doing for you?
It kind of reminds me of, like, the courgette bread or courgette cake you can have. It just doesn't... It doesn't correlate in my mind.
Sorry,
it's one of these ones you've actually got to taste it.
Undoubtedly. That's the key thing. If only we were at the Great Yorkshire Show, you would obviously be sort of be one of the key bakers there, and we'd be sampling your goods, as indeed we were yesterday. We are not there today because, frankly, we had too many other things to do. And, of course, tomorrow it's His Royal Highness the Duke of York, Prince Andrew, will actually be on the circuit, and that's going to be a wonderful thing, etc., as we say in the version of the Great Yorkshire Show, celebrating the great. No, not this time, actually. No, I'm afraid that I don't think we've... Emily might. I think Emily said she might be going with her mother, so that's Emily. And yeah, we do have quite a good track record with Madrid Drivettes actually meeting royalty, because over the past few years, Sue Royce actually encountered and had a few words with Prince Charles. And before that, I think we had a couple of other folk who actually managed to get fairly close up to Her Majesty herself, actually, in 2012. So who knows what could actually happen. Still, there we are. As you know, we're not seeking for royal appointment for the show, because, frankly, we already feel as though it's appointed royally. So, you know, let's just work our way through that that side of things. William, we've managed to sort out who we are at present in the studio, I think in some kind of psychoanalytic way. Emma Street and Fergus Jeffs, of course. Whom do you wish to chat to? Would it be Emma or would it be Fergus?
It's going to be Emma, please.
Yeah. Okay. Off you go then, William. Microphones are open, channels are open, everything's happy.
Okay, Emma, you've got you're on a date which is quite important to you, and a chap is coming over, and this is going to be your first date with him. So what are you going to cook him that is sort of going to win him round?
Oh, no. Oh.
No pressure, but oh, I can see really... it being a challenging question. Yeah, you weren't expecting.
I was not expecting
Channel your inner Tesco. No, sorry, other supermarkets are available. Go for it.
I don't think I'm the greatest cook, so it would have to be something simple, but it's going to need to be impressive at the same time. Definitely no garlic, no garlic bread, nothing like that.
Okay.
I do make a nice kind of pasta bake with some, like, chicken and that kind of stuff in it, but
very good. I think he'd be happy with pasta bake.
Yeah.
And what do you do for pudding?
Oh, pudding. I quite like those little melt-in-the-middle chocolate puddings. Obviously, wouldn't have made that. That'd be a supermarket bought that. But
okay, we just chuck him in the oven. Fine. He's happy. I mean, as long as you've got nut booze.
Yeah, that's good then. That's what I'd do.
Right, very good.
Is that going to be materialising in one of your upcoming happy ending novels, effectively, when you start off with the...
Chicken pasta bake.
Yeah,
I could do.
Yeah, there we are.
I mean, you can buy that one from the supermarket as well, and then just put it into your own dish and you're fine.
Emma wouldn't do that because she's an honest soul. She would work out with it. Fergus, on the other hand, heaven only knows what he put into his system, but you know... Do you want to put the same question to Fergus, as it seems quite
yes,
a fascinating
I
one? I thought you might.
You've got somebody who you are completely smitten with, you know, and it's your first date. What are you going to cook them?
Ooh.
we've only got an hour and a half.
I'm not a particularly great cook myself. I don't know. The only basic things around is, like, I can cook good mac and cheese, but that's about it, really. That's all I really...
Is that macaroni and cheese?
Macaroni and cheese,
right.
Yeah.
Get
okay.
a takeaway. What do I take? Like
yeah,
a Chinese
don't
even
take
steak.
Away on the first date. Yeah. I mean, it's like, surely you've got to be comfortable with the person before you do a takeaway.
Yeah, true. To be honest, it's a big thing.
To be honest, I've never really experienced it. I'm eternally single myself.
Well, yeah, who knows? Again, Kimberly Stewart, who's actually joining us shortly, her little website goes as follows. A little about me. I write novels, eat dark chocolate, raise three children, love my husband, scrub toilets, ignore the laundry, and love a good story, but hardly ever in that order. You know, I always thought it was a female version of yourself for a moment there, William. But it's not.
Yeah,
it's,
love my husband. That's nice. Oh, no. How often do you get older saying that?
Well, you know, we'll put it to Kimberly with only one ear.
Yeah, ask her how she loves her husband.
Oh, that could be dangerous, you know. It's
a bit misleading.
First time all around the whole thing. Don't know where we're going to go from that point of view. Anyway, as you said, no longer in Edinburgh, or not in Edinburgh at present. Probably will return to Edinburgh, because after all, the Scots couldn't cope without you. What are you actually doing in Suffolk, apart from obviously checking out the farming areas that are around there?
What have we been doing? We have been trying to listen to the cricket, because I've got an Indian friend with me now, and he's been gutted at India being stuffed today by New Zealand. He's already got a ticket to the final at Lord's on Sunday, and unfortunately, he's not going to be rooting for India anymore.
Talking about cricket, we actually had the cricketing winner of or contestant in Strictly Come Dancing at the Yorkshire show yesterday, whose name has eluded me. Do you remember the name? Is he retired? Ryan Sidebottom, of course. Thank you, Emma. You know, I knew it was going to come there. I could feel you sort of say, Ryan Sidebottom. He was on the fashion show together with the Yorkshire Vet, and extraordinary thing from that point of view. He maintained. I mean, I don't know, William. To have one semi-final disaster which sets the country back in terms of despair and so on is difficult enough. But, you know, I mean, it's not going to end well against Australia, is it, for us, really? Is it? I mean, you know, surely it's all gearing up for the fates and the stars for Australia, New Zealand in the final?
I'm quite bullish about England beating Australia. Yeah, we've got our mojo back. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You can relax. Yeah, yeah.
All those, hair toupee transplant sort of funny sort of gestures that were being put forward in the direction of Michael Vaughan, etc. We've gone past that, have we now?
Yeah. It's going to be fine. I think you can relax, rest easy, and put your feet up on Sunday for the final.
And you're saying it's going to be the first World Cup final for, well, pretty much in terms of cricketing terms, 44 years of hurt, because that's only how long the Cricket World Cup has actually been in existence, really. Otherwise, it probably would have been longer. 44 years since England have actually... we've never been in the final, have we?
No, I don't think we have.
And I suppose, a la Spirit of 66, how often will that be mentioned, that is also being held, or that was held in Britain as well. Sorry, England. I'm sorry, Scottish and Welsh and Irish folk, but, get used to it. If you get a blonde person in Downing Street, you're probably referring to all sorts of things on that basis. No, it's just the way I've eased back on that, William. I've kind of eased back away from that, because after your revelation last week that actually you were secretly hoping for a Johnson victory because it would enable you to actually re-release Dave Cameron's School Days with a new title... Sometimes. Yeah. It's the fate of the country that's at store. Never mind.
But I'd sell a few more books.
Yeah, but, at what cost to the socio-economic style that we're sort of faced with? What cost to our European sort of philosophy? What cost to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the true UK ambassador? He'd make a great choice. I mean, I'm sure he could do a wonderful cameo role. I mean, I could see him in that position, and then everybody would be happy, really. It'd be like Jumanji, crossed with the Scorpion King, crossed with, Gone in 60 Seconds. Did you do Gone in 60 Seconds, or is he more Fast and Furious? He's a Fast and Furious.
Gone in 60 Seconds with Nicolas Cage.
Also, potentially, a really good ambassador for the UK.
He lives in the UK.
Exactly.
Perfect. Get in touch.
There you go. Use your contacts in Washington, William, to actually make that suggestion, make it happen. We can't see any kind of opening at present for Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because you've already sacked him. Kim The Rock. Dwayne The Rock. But there is a possibility Nicolas Cage could be up for it. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
That's all right. I'll use this because it's the summer and why not open it up. William, whom would you like to ask you those last two questions?
Emma, please.
Okay. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have. I've loved it. Thank you so much for asking.
It's all right. And will you be joining us again next week?
I certainly will. From Edinburgh.
Oh,
There's nothing more impressive than when you actually write on your website that in an effort to condone the time and money spent, the author would like you to know that she holds degrees from St. Olaf College and the University of Iowa. She learned lots of interesting things at these fine institutions, none of which prepared her for the lethal cocktail of parenthood and writing. We are, of course, referring to the awesome Kimberly Stewart. How are you, Kimberly?
Great, thank you, Alex. It's good to be here.
Well, it's a delight to feature yourself in the first of what will be a summer series of wonderful, awesome authors. And you're leading in a whole range of ways there, because already you're the author of five published novels, including the Heidi Elliott series, which comprises Act Two, Stretch Marks, Operation Bonnet, and of course the sixth one, Sugar, has already been released. So it's actually six, because I think, you know, we're time traveling there for the moment in terms of various other things. Frequent public speaker, passionate about helping others live great stories. As we've said, you've got a story happening in America as we speak, really, with the joys of, you know, you get Trump in the White House, you get earthquakes in California, you get, you know, it's all there. It's all there, you know, so this is great stuff.
There's always something.
That's exactly. So Kimberly, whereabouts in the United States are you currently based?
I live in the middle, so I'm in the Midwest. I live in the state of Iowa.
And would it be Des Moines or?
Des Moines. Whoa, Des Moines. Extra point. Extra point for knowing that and for saying it correctly. Well, wow.
It's not for nothing that I didn't learn from William Shatner's Captain Kirk incarnation that, no, I'm from Iowa. Are you from outer space? No, I'm from Iowa. Star Trek 4, wonderful movie. And obviously, Des Moines there, obviously, if you're looking, could be quite literal, it would be Des Moines. No, Des Moines. It would be as bad as American coming over here and referring to Lincolnshire or Leicestershire, you know? It's painful.
Exactly. No, we learned that for sure. My family and I, actually, we were in England last summer and had a wonderful, wonderful time. And we did a little tutoring with everyone in our house, our three kids, my husband and I, we all learned. Now, don't sound like the dumb American. We have to sound like a thief who tried.
But Kim, we love it when you come over there and say things like Warwickshire. It's what the East and West Midlands were actually made of. That's a key thing. Kim, we're going to talk a bit about your writing, obviously, and talk about some of the novels and various other factors. But I'll introduce you to the two fine folk who are also in the studio here. One's a postgraduate student. That's Fergus Jeffs.
Yes, good.
That was Fergus attempting to do American accent. I think it was a very bad one, actually.
That was incidental. I just finished. You know, I was drinking and talking at the same time.
Fergus did a degree in English. I don't know, some kind of English. But anyway.
I studied a lot of American literature. Maybe picked it up along the way.
Exactly. It's all there. I blame Phil Redpath and his southern accents. And we also have the wonderful Emma Street, who is reading Public Relations and Communications.
Yes, hello.
There we are. That's right. Emma, you've had a look at some of Kimberly's work on her, of course, the website, which is kimberlystewart.com. Of course, it's Stewart, or is it Kimberly Stewart? Because that's another line, you know. Technically, you know, will Kim come back and say, actually, it's pronounced Stewart, not Stewart?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was just wondering because, and obviously I know that you're a writer as well, but you've done a lot of, like, speaking, and I was wondering if you had any kind of top tips for how to speak in front of a crowd, because I get quite nervous when I'm having to give presentations or something. So have you got any kind of golden rules?
That's a great question. I found, funnily, that once I started writing and publishing, people assumed that I also was a public speaker. And I'm not sure why that those two things came together. My publisher, of course, is eager for me to do any kind of public speaking so that I can get the word out about my book. So I started just saying yes as kind of an obedient employee. And I will say I had a little bit of experience. I was a high school Spanish and English as a second language teacher before I started to write. And so that was a small version, but a daily version of having to kind of get your gumption up and stand in front of people and decide to try to communicate something well. So, high school students actually are really much tougher on me than the average book crowd. So that was probably a good prep. As far as advice, I really try to do as much as I can to prep, and then the day of, really try to look at each face and consider just having a conversation just with one person at a time. If I look at the whole crowd, I get far too nervous, and I am worried that not anyone of the crowd is really understanding me. So really trying to consider it more as a conversation. And I do ask for a lot of feedback, making sure that people are tracking with what I'm saying. But all of that sounds very fancy and doesn't include any of the many stories where I have fallen on my face and been very embarrassed. So,
Kimberly, remember, failure is not falling down. Failure is staying down. It's the important thing.
It's true.
And if we add on to that the fact that you're Dutch, I mean, where were your loyalties between USA, USA, and, of course, the Netherlands in the recent FIFA World Cup Women's Final?
It had to be with the U.S. I mean, I do love the Netherlands. I have deep roots there. All of my family, both my mom's side and my dad's side, came over from the Netherlands in the mid-1800s. And so my grandparents all still spoke Dutch. And so those are deep roots for sure. But our women's team, of course, I was cheering like a maniac.
Well, Kim, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us, we're going to actually take a little step into an alternate dimension where the next piece of music, which is going to take us through the next 3 or so minutes, is basically being sung by Kim Stewart. We'll get that sorted through, etc. In an alternate reality, yes. Is she writing second choice for the career originally? Kimberly Stewart plans to be Amy Grant.
Just don't get it over you. Oh, baby, always.
So back in December 2016, Amy Grant, the pretend friend, famous person, finally encountered the awesome Kimberly Stewart, and great happiness was had. Was it not, Kimberly? She was so lucky to actually meet you. You know, Kimberly, I always wanted to be you.
Oh my gosh, that was seriously the best possible interview transition ever. That was so fantastic.
Well, it was one of those blog entries that caught our eye when I was looking at it. I met Amy Grant, I can die now. Don't do that, Kimberly, you know? But it's good to hear that she was on form. And again, you had that notion of the favourite pretend friend famous person. Do you have one, Emma? Favourite pretend friend famous person? You know, a famous person that you think, yeah, that Britney, I was really, or, you know, Miley.
I don't think so.
No, okay. No. Fergus?
No. I always like to think maybe, I don't know, maybe there's someone, but I haven't encountered them yet.
I've got to say, probably William Shatner.
William Shatner's everyone's pretend famous friend. <Yeah. laughs>
Just a thought on that sort of basis, but still. But I gather that Amy was on good form and you have bonded, which is an important thing, him.
We're pretty much best friends now.
Yeah.
She's not quite aware of it, but I know.
It's BFFs, all the rest of that. But okay, let's move on to Heidi Elliott. Share with us what is the joy of Heidi Elliott. And then this kind of the notion of happy endings. We've just been speaking to a romantic author with William Coles up in, normally Edinburgh, but this time around he was in Suffolk. But he was talking about, obviously, he's now going to develop a whole range of happy endings for his romantic novels, etc. Is this something you've always kind of felt it's there, or is that what comes of living in Des Moines and having Dutch parentage?
I do love a happy ending. I feel like we maybe underrate a happy ending right now. It's been interesting. I've been writing for 13 years, and I've watched the industry go through all sorts of different ups and downs, and there have been moments when I would pitch a book about being, I'd write all women's contemporary fiction, but there's always some kind of thread of romance, chemistry-driven, kind of banter-driven romance. And sometimes that has been very well received by publishers, and other times they say, oh, no, the mood is very dark right now. People aren't wanting to read that right now. And I'm noticing, you mentioned the situation in our country right now. I'm noticing that publishers are, again, eager to purchase this kind of a book that is uplifting and that, you know, delves into themes of hope and love and kind of some of the lighter parts of storytelling. And I think it is a reaction to, in part at least, a reaction to how difficult it is to read the news today and not feel so down.
Disconnected, exactly. In fact, I was speaking to one of my colleagues at the University of Lincoln who actually said that he's avoided watching any debates because, again, it just makes him very depressed, and we can understand that. So
right.
Step away from that. Yeah. Okay, let us move on. A story of reconnection, lost love, and the power of faith. Heartland follows a struggling fashion designer back to her small Iowa hometown as she tries to follow her dreams of success and finding true love. It's recently been released. It's going to be awesome. I can already see Academy Award Julia Roberts basically sort of saying, I want to do this now. Let's produce it. Get on the whole thing. Talk to us a bit about Heartland, Kimberly, and how it's out and available through all good sources as both paperback and electronic forms as well.
Yes, Heartland is my most recent. You gave a lovely synopsis. Julia has not called, but I know she's probably having lunch with Amy soon, and so hopefully
it'll happen.
Amy grabs
it'll happen. Yeah, this is it. Yeah.
We have actually had some happy buzz about that particular book, looking into film or TV. But I think again that actually capitalizes on what we were discussing, that there's a hunger right now for maybe a simple love story or a coming home story or a story about forgiveness and redemption. So Heartland has all of those things. It was so much fun to write. I have not written haven't written a book before that centers so much on small town Iowa, which is near and dear to me because my parents both grew up in really small towns in the northwest part of our state. My dad's hometown has 250 people in it, and I would go there for the summers, and it was so fun to bring some of that alive. There are some feisty grandmas in this story, and that was very fun because I know those women, those strong women who are kind of making things happen largely behind the scenes around here. And so they really play a heroic role in this book, which was so fun for me. So that's a special one for me. That's kind of a personal novel.
I'm looking forward to actually sort of reading through the whole thing and processing it. I'm sure it's going to be absolutely amazing. I mean, it is something about, I mean, we're as guilty as this on the Midweek Drive as other aspects of the media, because sometimes we talk about the United States of America, and yeah, we do New York, we feature Los Angeles regularly, but right in between there's that whole heartland, quite literally, see what you did there, marvellous, of America, where you have, you know, you're working through that whole process of reconnecting with the land, with other human beings, with all sorts of other areas. I think that's something which is, you know, well worth sort of addressing, Kimberly, and hats off to you for actually taking that forward to media production. Emma, any thoughts from yourself?
We already touched on it with Julia Roberts, but if it wasn't her, then who would you want to star in the film?
Oh, such a good question.
Would you conceivably go completely left field and select the British actress Keira Knightley? Just a thought, you know.
Well, actually, I have a total girl crush on Keira Knightley.
Oh, yeah, so did I. Oh, no, I love her.
There we are.
Emma, you do have a pretend friend famous person.
Oh, yeah, there we go. There we go. She could be mine. Yeah.
It'll work through that. We'll put it out to 10 and we'll negotiate from that point of view. I'm sure it'll be great. It's one of a whole series of books that are, of course, available. I mean, where would you suggest people should start? I mean, should folk who are listening to this actually jump straight in, Kim, by saying, we're going to go straight for Heartland? Or, you know, is there a kind of introductory hors d'oeuvre that you'd say, if you want to really know Kimberly Stewart, you should actually go for this particular text first?
Well, I'm always most excited about my most recent, so yes, I would say Heartland. The one right before that was called Sugar, and that's about, I'd say that is the Food Network meets Sleepless in Seattle, so kind of a little bit of romance and a lot of culinary stuff.
See, that's interesting, because looking at that, I mean, what worried me about Sugar, apart from the fact that we've used the strapline quite frequently, sugar is the new nicotine. Don't do it. Just go away from there. It's not good at all from that point of view. Reading the sort of the breakdown of it, after realizing her co-workers at L'Ombre, a high-profile restaurant in NYC, L'Ombre, very good, and will never appreciate or respect her, Charlie Garrett allows her ex-boyfriend, Avery Michaels, to convince her to work for him as executive pastry chef at his new Seattle hotspot. Thrill! She'll have her own kitchen, her own staff, everything she ever wanted professionally. I feel there's a but coming, Kimberly. Is there a but there? I mean, just I think everything is there, but, you know, sugar. It's not good. I mean, the Archies. I think that was probably the Denier back of the day. You know, you're too young to remember the Archies, actually. You probably weren't even playing piano in that particular time. But sugar. Not good at all, really. But interesting. That would be the one you suggest might be worth going to. Obviously, you know, we would say, how can you choose? At the end of the day, buy both. Heartland and Sugar. Just go for both of them. And then, you know, happiness will ensue. You can actually work through that whole process. Kimberly,
that was a great pitch. Thank you.
In terms of the usual social media, presumably KimberlyStewart.com is obviously the go-to website. You're on Facebook, Instagram, the rest of the sort of bits of people can actually access you from that point of view as well.
Yes, that would be lovely.
This is good. Well, we have two final questions that we need to put to you. These are critical ones, so, you know, no panic, but, you know, just breathe in. Remember, it's just one person.
Okay.
Have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us on the program today?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I loved it.
It's a good start. Second question, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
I would absolutely love it. Yes, put me on your list. This has been so much fun. I really appreciate it.
I think that deserves a round of applause for Kimberly Stewart. Yay! And just a reminder, it's Kimberly, K-I-M-B-E-R-L-Y. There's no second E. Just be absolutely sure about it. KimberlyStewart.com. And we can't leave people hanging, actually, Kimberly. Do you prefer Stewart or Stewart?
Oh, good heavens. Mm-hmm. Either way. You know what? Usually I'm mom, Or
yeah, I couldn't use that. It wouldn't be appropriate. You know? Not going to talk. Okay, we'll go with that. Kim, take care. Speak again soon.
Thanks so much.
Humble Bums, Coconut Tree. No, I hadn't heard of them either, but apparently a big part of British popular music culture back in the 60s, I believe.
I don't know.
No, but now we do, you see. We've worked our way through that. That's the important thing. We had hoped to be speaking to Aid Andrews, or is it Aidy Andrews? I don't know. He's Ezekiel Bone, tour guide of the joys of Newark and Nottingham, and where he actually does Robin Hood country and so on. But he's hiding in the forest.
Hiding
in the forest. So he's out there. They seek him here, they seek him there. I know that was the Scarlet Pimpernel. Never mind. Zoe Jameson will hopefully be with us in a few moments from now. And we, of course, haven't commented on what Robin Pearce has actually been doing recently. Well, he's been being shopping, which is very exciting in Wales, because they actually do have supermarkets in Wales. I was impressed. And he's even put up images of him effectively looking a little bit bemused by his shopping activities whilst over in Wales, which we'll find out about. But he's not on the show for a wee while yet, but he should be listening. He should be tuned into this. Shocking news, of course. He doesn't like the Eraser as a villain for Batman. I was quite saddened by that. Villain for Batman who literally erased folk. Well, not like the Eraser, who was a Marvel Comics character who erased folk in various episodes of Giant Man and the Wasp, She-Hulk, and then, of course, Mobius and the Thing. Emma, I can see your eyes glazing over now. It's okay. You know, we know where we're coming to that, and we'll sort of come out of that, you know, rapidly in all sorts of ways, because it's high time we started paving the way for the CLA Game Fair with the family dog.
Cowboys playing, young men slaying, old men praying, the world will change. Schoolgirls dating, daughters mating, mothers waiting to rearrange. Trainee worker, factory shirker, social nurture won't let you down. Chairman Bluster, boardroom cluster, feather duster, your vintage crown.
Tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor. Slaves, old men praying, the world will change. Schoolgirls dating, a daughter's mating, mother's waiting to rearrange.
Yet no mention of Family Vet. I'm astounded. The family dog, though, which I feel in so many ways is the ideal way to introduce and segue into our ace veterinary surgeon-to-be. It's Zoe. How are you, Zoe?
I'm very well, thank you. Excellent. How are you?
Excellent. Well, we were at the Great Yorkshire Show yesterday, and the Yorkshire Vet was one of the fashion people who actually went up and did the fashion walk. I thought, Yorkshire Vet, in a few years' time, you will be completely out of the picture once Zoe sort of gets herself sorted on that basis, and it'll happen. You know, we know that for a guarantee. And although the wonderful joys of Dewberry were actually to be found, I think, at Brocklehurst of Bakewell, we didn't feature those, but we did feature Ben from Fairfax and Favour, and I did say I'd give them a little shout out. So they were there as well, and I said to Ben, frankly, Fairfax and Favour don't stand a chance against Dewberry, as long as Dewberry have the wonderful equivalent of Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo in their side, also known as Zoe Jameson. So that's it. That's my line. Quite happy sports today. It's all right. We need you.
How did Ben see that?
Ben took it very well. I mean, he realised. You could listen to the whole thing because we put it online today, both for our sirenonline.co.uk people and indeed for southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. We can have 68 minutes of glorious first day at the Great Yorkshire Show. But and of course, there's another day tomorrow if you fancy going down to check it out. Meanwhile, on the 26th to the 28th of July in Hatfield House, Hertfordshire, world-class entertainment with the Euro Challenge. Teams will be travelling from Europe to compete against England on the Friday of the Game Fair, a competition called the Euro Challenge, which takes place over a variety of tricky retrieves. We are talking, of course, about canine retrieves here, hence the family dog. Yeah. You may have thought, Zoe, we weren't thinking about this at production, but at the end of the day, there are words there. Apparently, each team consists of three handlers and three dogs. The dogs must comprise three different retriever breeds: Labrador Retriever, Golden Retriever, Flat-Coated Retriever, Chesapeake Bay Retriever, interesting one, my personal favourite, the Curly-Coated Retriever, what's not to love, the Irish Water Spaniel, or, and this is a very close second for me in terms of this is the dog for me, the Nova Scotia Duck Tolling Retriever.
Goodness me.
Now, I mean, Zoe, you are going to be our reporter on the spot from this point of view, when you're not obviously doing great things as far as Dewberry is concerned. But I think the test which we have to put there is, have you in your veterinary studies so far come across the Nova Scotia Duck Tolling Retriever? Or is it tolling? I don't know. It could be Stuart or Stuart. I think it's totally.
I mean, I don't think it's very common, and I'm going to be honest, I have not come across it yet. Mm. But I don't know what's going to knock on my door tomorrow.
You know, that is one of the reasons you have this slot. And we're, even as we speak, writing a whole new batch of jingles for yourself, for Emma, for Fergus. Oh, God, it's a whole new world, honestly. Anyway, the Eurochallenge, in case you're wondering, the Eurochallenge teams are, as well as England, of course, Belgium, Germany, Italy, Switzerland, and the Netherlands. Yeah, so that's the usual.
When is it featuring? We'll have to make sure we get a break to go and watch.
I think so. I think you need to put that now. And if Charles should kick off, so to speak, say, Charles, I'm doing it to promote the brand of Dewberry for my media commitments. It's the key thing. So that's the wonderful thing. You can also actually meet up with, I think, famous chef James Martin. So it's lots of exciting. I mean, are you a veteran of the Game Fair environment? How many have you clocked up, so to speak? Because, I mean, I think we've done about five or six of them. Sadly, I don't think we're able to actually get down to Hertfordshire. But the Game Fair, formerly the CLA Game Fair, and formerly the Daily Telegraph Game Fair, is it something which you would recommend to people? Or somebody just smashed something in the background there?
Oh, God, sorry. I'm in a train station.
Oh, that's okay. That's
fine. Terribly noisy. The Game Fair, I have clocked up quite a few.
Yeah.
This will be the third since CLA have no longer been involved.
Right.
And I think that's probably enough information.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine, actually. I mean, the sort of the way in which you said... I think we detected it there, effectively, Emma. The way the CLA, since the CLA have no longer been involved, it's a bit of a political sort of situation there, which I must admit, yeah, I could go into, but I won't, because we've already had to talk about the Trump view of getting rid of Dwayne DeRock Johnson. Oh no, sorry, it's Kim DeRock. Easily put together. Never mind. Let's open it up then. What would you suggest for Game Fair novices like Fergus, like possibly Emma? I mean, I don't know. Have you been to any?
No.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, I think the Game Fair this year will probably be such a lovely occasion for so many people that haven't normally attended.
Yeah.
Because it's so close to London and it's at such an ideal time of our year. So it's at the end of January when, fingers crossed, the weather will withhold. So it's quite a nice time of year to go to an event, and hopefully the weather will be good to us.
It will. I mean, you know, offsetting that, we've also got Europe's biggest maze, the York Maze, possibly the world's biggest maze, but certainly Europe's biggest maze, which again will be featuring in the very near future, because that actually opens up on, I think, the 13th of July, so it works through the summer. So actually, there's no reason in many ways why we couldn't set up something for Zoe to actually come up and take part in the York Maze. You know, that's way forward. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm very jealous of you all attending the Great Yorkshire Show this week.
Well, you know, it was fun, but you were missed. I mean, it's fair to say that Emily was saying, is Zoe not here? I said she couldn't. She was not released from her particular veterinary duties from that point of view. So there we are. It's a way forward. Okay, let's open it up. Fergus, any questions you want to put to Zoe? One, I might suggest, that you don't have to follow this through, is what's the name of the train station she's currently at? Should we guess? Where do you think? I mean, actually, Fergus, have a
That's
guess.
A good game.
Where do you think which train station Zoe is currently at?
I know. I'm going to say somewhere around London, maybe Euston.
Euston. Euston is Fergus's suggestion. What about yourself, Emma?
I was going to go London, but
yeah. No pressure, but obviously time is going on.
Yeah. All right, I'll go Manchester.
Manchester?
You never know.
Yeah, no, I spoken as a true Tottenham Hotspur fan, you never know. I will say, because I have to say, I know it from that point of view, I will say Waterloo.
Interesting. I might be heading back to London. I'm currently in Newcastle.
I was closest. Look, see, everybody laughed. And I was actually closest.
But where the fog on the Tyne is all thine or thine, if you'd let us know, we could have actually put you in touch with Ian Lennox. We could have had a little Geordie reunion up there from that point of view. In fact, you'll pass the Harrogate Game Fair on the way back down again from that perspective. Great.
Indeed. Hopefully a flying visit. But
yeah.
I'm up here for my brother's graduation. So we've had a lovely day and now I've got to go back to reality.
Well, let's make it an even more perfect day for your brother. What's his name?
Matthew.
Matthew. Okay, so together, three of us, the Midweek Drive Nights in the studio, and possibly yourself, so well. Congratulations, Matthew, on graduating. Okay? Mm-hmm. A one, two, three. Congratulations, Matthew, on graduating.
Yay!
What did you actually graduate in, by the way, just out of interest?
He's graduating from law and international business.
Very good. Oh, wow. Very good. Yeah,
tough subject.
Yeah, wow.
But important. No, important because, Zoe, when you actually sort of become the absolute genius of the veterinary world, you need to have somebody to actually deal with the law and international rulings just to sort those things through, particularly with pets, passports, and various other bits and pieces now. So, great stuff on that.
Yeah, he very much keeps me grounded, don't worry.
Well, it's like MJ and ZJ, if you're American. You know, MJ and ZJ, or ZJ. I still think it's definitely way forward. Zoe, as ever, it's been awesome, and I'll put the same question to your good self that actually I put to William Coles earlier. Whom, from Fergus, or indeed Emma, would you like to have ask you those last two questions?
Can I ask Emma how she knew I was in the north?
Likewise. You see, that's what we love about Zoe. She takes that sort of line and takes it out. How did you know she was in the north?
I had no idea. I just went for it, and
that burst of sort of train announcement actually had any regional accent that I could pick up. No. You know, I would have thought, yeah.
Yeah, bold choice. I love it.
Yeah, it's very good. It's a way forward. Still, allowing for that, do you want Emma or Fergus to ask you those last two questions, Zoe?
Fergus, please.
Okay. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I think it's been reasonably interesting, yeah.
And will you be joining us again in the future?
I guess so.
That'll be next week then, all being well, Zoe. And next week you can actually speak to our Welsh correspondent who will be in the studio. Robin Pearce is making the journey across the British Isles, ostensibly to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Stone Tapes. But, you know, I think it's going to be on the Midweek Drive as well. All that way, he will be with us as well from that point of view. And just in case people are wondering, that image that we see that he posted an hour ago, actually, driving in his car, effectively, this is the face I make when parked whilst Maria Pearce, his wife, I believe, goes into a certain supermarket, four names in the title, four letters, it begins with L, for just one thing, and I spot her strolling up to the car with the trolley full. Yeah. Let's hope he's chilled out by the time. Hopefully he's back in so many ways. That's the important thing. Zoe, take care. Have a safe journey back down from the north. I mean, I appreciate, as you're a Northern Irish lass in any case, you're probably not as worried as a sort of genuine Londoner would have actually been by finding yourself up in Newcastle thinking, you know, why, etc. So it's good from that point of view. And we'll speak next week.
Thank you very much.
Succeed at last. Yeah. Persecution, you must fear. We don't lose the battle, get your sheep. You got your mind set on a dream. You can get it, the body may see now. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want, yeah. You can get it if you really want. But you must try, try and try, try and try. You succeed at last.
succeed at last. Succeed at last. Don't you know it? Don't I show
it? Keeping the bubbly, upbeat tempo theme going of Siren Radio's Midweek Drive, because it is the summer month and that's what we actually do. I mean, when we get back, of course, in September, October, it all becomes very depressing. No, it's okay, because we like to brighten things through, as indeed Kimberly was actually saying earlier with the production. In terms of authors that are coming up, Mark Watson will be joining us next week. He's the content manager at Mojang AB, works as customer support agent. He actually manages content for the entire Minecraft franchise, director of Minecraft Marathon. We've also got the author of the Rise of the Light trilogy, H.M. Gooden, joining us as well, and a whole heap of other goodies as well. Paul Zollo, will be joining us in a few moments from America as we keep the line going from that particular perspective. And in the second part of the programme, we've also got Robin Pierce, Phil Leonis. We'll talk about the quantification of inspiration. We'll probably talk about coping with change and maybe, just maybe, the Apollo moon legacy. Yes, we're approaching that 50th anniversary since humanity first managed to actually get to that first natural satellite, and our nearest natural satellite in the sky. Stony End, leading us to the welcome return of singer, songwriter, author, journalist and photographer. It's the amazingly talented Paul Zollo. How are you, Paul?
I'm very good, Alex. Thanks for having me back. Oh, always happy to talk to you.
You know, I mean, sometimes I look around, Paul, and I think it's far too many months since you came back to the whole production. So there we are. And are you based in Chicago or are you based in another part of the States? Because I always get confused in terms of where we reach you in the States these days.
I'm in a town called Los Angeles, California.
Ah, that small little place.
I was
close,
but I've been here.
Yeah, I knew there was a Chicago intro, but we've kind of been working our way across America, kind of looking to set up our campaign, because clearly, given the confusion over Kim Barak not being Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, the UK ambassador for the USA, apparently Donald Trump didn't like him, so he's gone. We're setting up a campaign to maybe actually get either Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson installed or possibly Nicolas Cage as a UK ambassador. So it's just a way forward. Oh, maybe, Paul, you'd like to take up the job. I mean, I'm sure that would be quite nice. I mean, the fact that you're American wouldn't have any problem whatsoever in terms of becoming a UK ambassador. A minor thing. We can get it sorted out.
If you could get me in, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I think we can look forward to a slightly more positive stuff. Paul, how has life been so far? I mean, one of the things we've been talking about on the show has been inspiration, positivity and lines from that point of view. And music is probably something which is so needed to actually inspire us in so many ways. We've got a track coming up in a few moments, which we actually played last week, and I was listening to it one more time. I thought, it's interesting how pertinent 50 years on these messages are. But how's life been in the Zolo household?
Life has been good. My son left our home to go to college, which has been traumatic for me. But besides that, life is good. And in fact, I did take a lot of solace and meaning and joy in music constantly, mostly older music that I love, but some new music too that keeps me going.
Well, again, remember, they haven't left for good, although technically you probably won't. You know, what's he reading at college? What's he doing?
He is a filmmaker, and he's learning how to make films, and he's taking all the other classes that are required. But he's quite an excellent film editor and writer and filmmaker.
Well, I mean, clearly we'll need to actually
have him. He got to Israel as well as part of the Birthright program, where they send young Jews to Israel for free from America, which is quite a program.
All right, excellent. Clearly, he needs to come on the show and talk about that. So it's great stuff. We have two students in the studio. One is a postgraduate student, one is an undergraduate. But, you know, the trauma that probably went through the Street family household where, when Emma said, I'm off and I'm going down the hill. I'm going down the hill to the University of Lincoln. You know, not across the car, I'm going to down the hill. And Fergus rather coming all the way up from Leicester. I mean, only knows what would happen. I mean, what advice would you give Fergus to Paul in terms of his son, obviously, off to college now? What sort of things should he be wary of, shall we say?
So is he the first in the family who's going to university?
Is he the first in the family who's gone off to university, first to leave, Paul?
Well, of he's my only child.
By default, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I think...
So we're overnight.
Yeah, they're need to kind of keep in contact with them, like, not like every week, maybe like every couple of weeks, just like update, because sometimes when it's like a weekly thing, it's kind of... I don't have anything new to tell you. Basically, told you everything.
Hmm.
Right. Help them kind of be independent, but if they're kind of struggling or something, or just need to talk to somebody. Remember, there were times during my undergrad where I basically just needed to, where some things weren't always going, you know, all right, and just you. Know, and make sure there's always kind of like an opening there to just like, if they say, oh, I need to come home for a few days, offer that to them, but then don't have them coming home every weekend. And it's like, well, what are you doing at university then?
So we care for you, but don't come back.
Okay. Yeah, not too often.
No,
make sure that you're allowed to miss them.
Yeah. There we go. And Emma.
My wife doesn't believe in the independence thing. She is still doing his laundry, so he comes in and
he's going to learn to do his own laundry.
I don't know.
He has to.
Yeah, the old mother still doing the laundry stint. Emma.
I mean, I've got the complete opposite experience. I think my dad's devastated that I'm still living at home while at university, because we're constantly with each other. So he's doing my laundry and my cooking, but we share the responsibilities. I do some of the cooking and some of the ironing and cleaning and stuff like that. But I don't know, universities and college is a different experience for everyone. Some people thrive on the independence, some people just need a bit more support going through it. So it depends on people's personalities, I think.
So there you have it. I don't know if that's helped at all, Paul, but we've tried to kind of share in that special transatlantic way some of the thoughts that might be there. You have two extremes, really. Sort of basically, the parents who just say, "Are you still that?" Mind you, as a Manchester City fan, you'd be okay.
Where's he going to college or university?
He is going to Cal State Northridge, which is all of 30 minutes from our home, so he's very close.
I mean, if Paul, you said he was doing something like going to Lincoln, England, I mean, you know.
That's too far.
Would have been.
No more than about a couple of hours away.
A whole different country.
He applied to NYU and USC. I didn't realize you had to bribe them several hundred thousand dollars to get them in. No one told me that part. So he's going to something with it.
Well,
you heard about
Enron, Paul. He says several times that's capitalism. Never mind. Let's not go into an ideological debate at this particular side, because who knows what could actually happen. Is it possible? I mean, you've interviewed heaps and heaps and heaps, and still continue to do lots of great interviews, Paul. Is it possible to quantify inspiration? Can you actually sort of, because I mean, we're in a world where everybody has to measure everything, you know, you're measuring this, we're measuring that, we're kind of having to metrics for everything. Do you think you can do that, or ultimately do you think actually going with a gut feeling is really critical for us to actually sort of, I mean, you know, in the music industry, I know it's always been a business, but you seem to have these days where people are always looking for demographics, they're looking for that kind of system, that body. Have we gone too far, do you think?
Well, the music business definitely has gone too far in terms of demographics, where it used to be that art came first, and then they'd figure out how to make it a product to sell. At some point, it turned around, and Tom Petty really noticed that where the product came first, and this is starting to dictate what the artist should do, and that changed, you know, the quality of the music and the artistry, in my opinion. But there's always good music, and in terms of inspiration, especially musical, your music creates its own inspiration, and so many of the songwriters I've talked to, I mean, some are spiritual, some are not. Some think that the source is a spiritual source. But regardless of that, they all say the same thing. You keep doing it. You know, you keep the wheel rolling. If you stop art, you know, it takes a long time to get back to it. It's like being a gymnast almost. You have to stay in shape. And the songwriters I know who have really done miraculous work, they got on kind of a creative roll. And they connected with the joy of the thing, with the doing of the thing. And that ultimately is what it comes down to, because if you look to the business or the industry for your validation, now some people get that, but most don't. But you can't look to others. You have to understand that you are validated by doing the work. And a lot of artists I've spoken to recently said, you know, without that understanding, they just would be destroyed, because the industry isn't there to celebrate great, brave new experiments or art. It's there to sell things. And so they look at what's currently popular. They're not looking for the next thing. So it's not an easy industry to be in. I always think of the line from The Godfather where they say, this is the business we've chosen. Now, that is the business we're in. It was never, you know, set up in an ethical way to coddle artists. It was set up to sell records and to sell sheet music. And it's still the same. But right now, in some ways, it's probably more challenging than ever.
Well, sage words. Have you heard the latest album from Bruce Springsteen? Has that crossed your ears as yet?
It has.
And your thoughts?
I enjoy it a lot. You know, Bruce, he's just one of those guys that is so inspiring to me because he keeps doing it. You know,
he's on the phone now. He's calling up. He's saying, "Paul, interview me." I tell you what, whilst phone and
that is my call.
Yeah. It's there. Listen, let's as you have to do with respect to radio, it's an ironic phrase. Shall we actually select? I mean, if I actually asked for you to choose Bruce Springsteen with either Hitchhiking, The Wayfarer, or Tucson Train, which one would you go for?
I'd go for Bruce Springsteen.
Well, we've got those are the times. Hitchhiking, The Wayfarer, Tucson Train, or There Goes My Everything, There Goes My Miracle. What would you like?
Was The Wayfarer the first one you mentioned?
The Wayfarer is the second one. We can go with that. It's a good choice. Let's go with this. Yeah. Stay with us. And we'll cast our critical ears over the boss. If you're not aware of the lyrics, you might sort of think he was saying, I'm a way ferry baby. No, a wayfarer baby, as in wayfarer.
Yeah.
Critical. But still, from the awesome album Western Stars, his latest one, Bruce Springsteen, coming up to 70 years of American age. 70 American years. Mm. Very good.
and still got it, which is great stuff. I was going to offer you Barry Maguire and Eve of Destruction, but I thought, we're on a positive mood. Let's not go quite down that line. We played it last week, but it was one of those things where I didn't think, actually, there's a lot of synchronicity between what Barry Maguire was actually singing about and Eve of Destruction and our current scenario with respect to the global routine. Yeah, so we might have...
Eve of Destruction was written by my late great friend P.F. Sloan, who also wrote Secret Agent Man and a lot of pop hits like You Baby. Mm. But, you know, P.F. Sloan wrote that song and three other songs in the same night while he was still living with his parents in his home. He was still like 18 years old. And it's a remarkable song, so I'm glad that it's one of those songs that, as you say, is relevant now, if not more than it was all those decades ago.
Yeah. Actually, it is. And I'm beginning to change this. I'm almost like, what do you think, Emma? Should we play Eve of Destruction now?
I have no idea what
No idea what it is. Okay. Of course. Because if you're one of my journalism level 2 students, you'd know if you'd done the Vietnam War, I actually play this as one of the sort of elements that's coming through from that point. You need to listen to the lyrics from that point.
It's very suited to the 1960s, sin into the whole Cold War Vietnam kind of
And yet it references the Apollo landings and space program as well.
See, you should have gone to Fergus, not me.
No, it's no point. Paul, it would seem you have the casting vote on this little musical sequence. Shall we go for Barry Maguire and Eve of Destruction or not?
Well, in honor of the great P.S. Sloan who wrote it, I say absolutely. Let's hear Eve of Destruction.
Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you tell me. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save. We're the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me. So mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me. Think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace and tell me. Yeah.
may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Could almost be written for the Trump presidency, really. Oh, never mind. Sorry, John. What do you think, Emma?
Yeah. I don't really know what the right thing to say is.
No, just say what you think, say what you feel. That's the important thing. And Fergus, you were sort of interested that you felt as though Vietnam, you were quite shocked as somebody who sort of was there, that it was the war that effectively nobody wanted to talk about for such a long time.
Yeah, I was just saying to you when the song was playing that I remember asking my dad about it, and he was a kid growing up in the 60s hearing about it, and there was a thing that for years afterwards you didn't hear anything about it until you saw a load of, you know, popular films being made about the Vietnam War.
And Magnum P.I.
And it's a fairly, they were kind of ashamed about, because they were kind of embarrassed by it.
Well, by they? Are we talking about
the Americans, the United States, not the Vietnamese.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, they had their own sort of line at it, and that's probably where the problem starts, actually, Paul, when we start seeing us and them, they, the others, etc. Anyway, let's hope the people will learn from the lyrics. That's what we say, learn from the lyrics. Paul, Los Angeles, a little bit worried because obviously we're about to celebrate 50 years since Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, but at the same time, the San Andreas Fault could go any time. Are you safe over there?
Right now I am at the moment.
Okay.
You never know living here. There's a lot of fault lines that go through LA, and the last one that just hit us is actually very far from Los Angeles, but they made it look on the news as if the whole city was, you know, going up.
I saw that. The newsreader said, do we have to get under the desk?
It was quite far from it. But yeah. It's always, you know, my dad asked me years ago, like, aren't you scared living there? But, you know, I love it here. But that's part of the dynamic of living in Los Angeles. At any moment, it could just start to shake and we're all going.
Yeah.
That's always exciting. But that could happen really anyway.
Well, that is true. But, you know, on the other hand, I'd say there's less chance of it. Although, I mean, Lincoln has had an earthquake. It destroyed the cathedral 1,000 years ago. Actually, we had a fairly mild one a few years back. There was a sort of a teeny tiny sort of tremor from that point of view. I blame fracking, but then again, I would. So let's not go there.
That's why there's Idaho, you know, earthquakes. In the Midwest of America, they're having earthquakes because of fracking. So
you
know what's going on.
I didn't have the heart to raise it with our Des Moines correspondent from Iowa because I thought she was on a positive vibe, so let's keep it there. Paul, we seem to have skirted over a large number of topics, including seismology, the singing of Barry Maguire, Eve of Destruction, Laura and I are, of course, a whole heap of other goodies, and a reminder that you can access many of the Paul Zolle books in terms of interviews with songwriters online and in all sorts of ways. Are you working on another book, Paul, or is it a case of I'm just gearing myself for a whole new series of articles?
No, in fact, I am, and I'm happy I'm working with a UK company, Omnibus, on. We're putting up a new edition of the book I did with Tom Petty, which was called Conversations with Tom Petty. And when he died, that book sold out immediately. And so it's taken a while to do a new version, but I've added a bunch of new stuff, and Tom's wife, Dana, has been working on it with me, and that comes out in October.
Excellent. I look forward to that. Yeah, Conversation with Tom Petty. I can't believe this. Originally published in 2005. Still, this is well worth.
I always wanted to do a new version with him. I didn't ever think this would happen. I would do a new version without him, which was kind of, you know, bittersweet, quite bittersweet. But he has a devoted network of fans, and they're very excited about it. So I'm happy about that. And I'm also doing a book on Frank Zappa. I'm editing a book of his interviews called Zappa on Zappa.
Returning to the advice we gave over your son heading off to college, etc., at least you didn't not call your son Moon Unit, did you? So, you know, on that basis, he should be very grateful. You know, Frank Zappa, he calls his son Moon Unit. I mean, it's not good, is it, really?
His Hollywood children.
His daughter is Moon Unit. His sons are Amit and Dweezil. You know, when he was at the hospital and Dweezil was born, they refused to accept the name. They said, I'm sorry, we're not taking that. And he had to give a conventional name, and then Dweezil formally had to change his name to Dweezil. But, you know, I know the Zappa kids, and they they liked their names. They had other problems with life, but the names wasn't a big one.
I was incorrect there, obviously, with Moon Unit. It was somebody else. I could have sworn Frank Zappa named his people.
Moon is his daughter. Moon Unit is his daughter.
There we are. I knew there was a Moon Unit in there somewhere. You know, it was our lunar celebration. Yeah. Thank you for that, Paul, because for a moment
Valley Girl with him, that she just improvised and became like a huge hit, which was even more of a hit than Frankie intended. But she was just happy to do something with her dad because he was always working. He didn't spend a lot of time with other humans.
And on that wonderful moment, it's brought us to the time where we need to say before we head off to Wales, United Kingdom. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us, Paul Zollo?
Always. And I apologize for my president who can't even spell whale. You know, he thinks it's the same spelling. So I apologize.
Donald. You know, whatever. You know, Richard Nixon. And they're all the greats. You know, just imagine Dickie and Donald when they get up there down there.
Well, I think one of the great things Trump has done is for the Nixon legacy compared to Trump. Nixon looks like a great statesman, really, at this point.
Yeah. Oh, he said that, you know. I mean, it does seem as though the Trumpster is sorting out best friends with North Korea, you know. I mean, what pals could that be? It's a whole new world. You know, first president go to the DMZ? Amazing. We could talk longer. Will you return? Will you come back, Paul Zollo?
If they let me, I'd be happy to come back.
Of course. As Tom would say. Here comes the rubber-headed villain, the Eraser, who tried to rub out Batman in a special bat thriller, The 10 Best-Dressed Corpses in Gotham City. Available for only $15 if you actually wish to have the first human eraser, Robin Carmine Infantino cover. I mean, what's not to love, I ask you, about the Eraser who tried to rub out Batman? Emma, you're What? Honestly, whoosh. This surely is, when we've actually done Vietnam, we're sort of working our way through the Apollo routine. This has to be, you know.
I knew you were calling him the eraser and everything, but I wasn't expecting an actual...
An actual...
It's like a human pencil, isn't it?
Yeah,
and
I didn't...
What I've got against him is I spent about a shilling of my pocket money on that issue, and that, what you see on the cover, never happened.
No. Did it not?
No.
That's false advertising.
He was just a gangster, dressed like a pencil.
Yeah. Well, I mean, having said that, if you wanted to see it really happen, you should have gone back earlier to see the eraser created by Stanley and Jack Kirby, who actually did make people erase and vanish, although actually he sent them to Dimension Z. They were sent off to various other bits and pieces before.
In my defence, I was about 6 or 7 at the time.
Yes. Great art, though, and surely the
great art.
Itself.
I mean, I love the cover, but... It was such a disappointing story. And you look so dorky.
Yeah, well, you see, if you're talking about stories, ask Phil Lynas. I mean, he was very much into series that effectively ended perfectly, and he could only come up with one or two minor ones that were actually there. Star Trek The Next Generation, he thought All Good Things was the perfect end.
It was, I agree, and I'm hoping that the upcoming Picard doesn't undo that. Will they be taking it too far? I don't know.
I think they felt that actually in recent history, probably Mad Men was the one that he felt was, again, a perfect ending from that point.
I've still yet to see it.
I'm
on series 3.
Yeah, what
I think ended perfectly? Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I want to go back and watch that, because I mean, I remember it being on when I was a kid, but I was too young to remember it, but I just want to go back and... Well, I remember it being on TV on, like, BBC Two, where it was, like, this great lineup, where it was, like, The Simpsons, then The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, then Buffy the Vampire Slayer, then Star Trek The Next Generation.
What
a lineup.
And
I do want to go back and watch it, and maybe take a look at Angel as well. I mean, that looks pretty interesting.
Angel's ending wasn't that satisfactory, but it was kind of rushed. It's what I call
it was cancelled, wasn't it?
Butch and Sundance ending.
Well, 5 seasons at the end of the day. It was a time when people realised, Josh, I'm sorry, it's time to actually stop doing what you're doing and do something like Dollhouse, and we'll cancel that after 2 seasons and do Firefly. Oh,
yeah,
curiously,
that won't even go a full season.
But Phil Lynas would say, great, thank goodness it was cancelled, because before it got too sort of, you know, clever for itself, basically. I mean, Phil will have a right of reply, obviously, in a few moments' time if he's listening. Hopefully, thankfully, good news, it seems as though his optics are improving on an hour-by-hour basis.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, we're pleased about that. So, your role, Robin, is quite simple, you know, as I sort of continue looking at the eraser. I mean, look at those, I mean, you know, the poison gas that effectively shoot out of the shoes as well. I mean, these are classic.
It's absolutely ridiculous, that outfit. Why is it dressed up like a pencil?
I'm telling you now, Emma, when it comes to the last two questions at the end of my spot, I want you to ask them.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Well, off you go then. Pave the way for Phil Lynas's LA connection, Robin, by sharing with us and the listener why they should tune in to the podcast and download the podcast if they've missed any of the programmes so far. And by the way, was the shopping trolley really stacked as high as you seem to think it was?
Always. Always. It's like, you go and wait in the car. I'm just going to get one thing. And then it's like, you can see the entrance to the car park from the supermarket, and just as well this thing's got four-wheel drive.
Hmm. Okay, meanwhile, on with the programme, on with the critique. Mr. Pierce, the floor is yours.
The critique, upcoming. I'm checking my notes as we speak. Right, Kimberly Stewart, love her blog site, especially the one entitled I'm Almost As Cool As My Website, and I wish I'd thought of that title for a blog of my own. One thing that I picked up on during that particular spot was you were talking about famous pretend friends, and yours was William Shatner, I believe.
Although I have seen the back of his head.
Mine was either Leonard Nimoy or Adam West. Adam West first, because I'd seen him first. But if I had to go for a fictional friend, I always wanted the Lost in Space robot to be my friend. Still do, actually.
Danger, Robin Pierce.
Indeed. I've noticed a late 60s vibe to your music this week. And between William Coles and Kimberly Stewart both being
romantic authors. Mm. I was wondering, is this a summer of love on Siren Radio?
Well, it's very much connecting. Love that. I mean, it's awesome.
I was particularly intrigued by Paul Zolo. He had an interesting take on inspiration. Now, personally, and this may be just a little bit controversial, I find a lot of today's chart music bland and repetitive.
You're talking to the choir here.
I blame Simon Cowell for this downward trend due to his exploitive TV shows. Basically, he is just marketing pre-packaged shelf-life written.
Thank heavens you said shelf-like there for a moment.
I was trying not to use any language that might get me into trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
There's very little originality these days. Whatever happened to youthful rebellion, where you know the charts were full of music that your parents weren't supposed to like, but this particular parent thinks, you know, there's nothing here that's challenging me. I love the fact that when you asked him to choose a Bruce Springsteen track, he went with Wayfarer, because you played that about 3 weeks ago, and I bought the album as a result. And what I didn't know then, but know now, is apparently, again, that whole album was inspired by mid-60s music. Listening to it, I am reminded of the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds a lot. So you've definitely got this summer of love thing going on this week, and I'm wondering if you're there sort of, you know, sitting cross-legged on the floor swapping, you know, beads and flowers.
Well, please, man, tell me you're not. It's so far out. I've actually just, I'm recovering from a podcast title which had Piercing the Veil not been selected. I would have said you should have gone with this, and I think it's still out there. I think it's in the public domain now. It's in the consciousness. Admittedly, it sort of span out of Chilpack Hollywood and never quite developed. It's called Paranoia Will Destroy You. Paranoia Will Destroy You.
Oh, that sounds like an Alice Cooper song title.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that when you go actually challenge filled in as in person when you're sitting probably between Fergus and Emma next week.
Yeah, will you keep a chair for me?
The chair is already
right next to me.
You know, it'd be nice if I could sit down because, you know, I'm not that young.
The chair.
I look forward to being in the studio with you.
It's been awesome. So, Emma, the last two questions, please.
Yes. I feel like I've earned this now. So, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, it's been fun, and it's been fun listening to the show, as usual.
Oh, I'm glad. And will you be joining us? Oh, you are? We'll be joining us again next week.
I am there next week.
You'll be here.
Unless Alex gets a restraining order.
Yeah, and I look forward to you wearing the nice yellow and stripy suit.
Yeah, you need to come in costume.
With the eraser there, so we can actually talk more about eraser.
I need to select an appropriate T-shirt for next week out of the collection.
Not to be confused.
Do you have a preference?
A themed
preference.
Emma, any thoughts for yourself?
A preference on what?
What T-shirt Robin should select? Genre?
Should it be comic book? Should it be Marvel or DC? If so, what superhero?
I'm a fan of Marvel, really, and any in that kind of category.
Fergus?
Yeah, I'll go for Marvel, yeah.
Next week, I will wander in, if security allows.
Of course, he's doing the Modern Warfare Morning Edition as well, so he could do Marvel on Marvel on the Wednesday and DC on the Thursday.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Vice versa.
Because I'm there for your morning program on Thursday, aren't I?
It's going to be a Robin Pierce double whammy, honestly. It's going to be great.
I'm there for about 36 hours, and about 30 of them will be spent in the studio.
There we are. It's awesome. Up next, Phil Leonis, assuming the earthquake hasn't started.
Baby brought you to me. yesterday. Hello, silver lining. Got spring and summer running through me. Hey, 98.6, it's good to have you back again. Oh, hey, 98.6, her loving is the medicine that saved me. Oh, I love my baby. Everybody on the street, I see you smiling. Must be because I found my baby. You know she's got me on another kind of highway. I want to go to where it takes me. Hey, 98.6, it's good to have you back again. Oh, hey, 98.6, her loving is the medicine that saved me. Oh, I love my baby. You know she's got me on another kind of highway. I want to go to where it takes me. Hey, 98.6, it's good to have you back again. Oh, hey, 98.6, her loving is the medicine that saved me. Oh, I love my baby.
Oh, the positivity as we actually say, welcome, Phil Leonis from Los Angeles. How are you, sir?
I'm in a lot of pain.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to lie to you. As you know, I have a surgically repaired left eye that is working wonderfully, but a right eye that has gone completely white.
Well, I tell you, the best cure
attention.
For the best
attention.
Okay, the best cure for being in pain with white eyes and various other bits and pieces, apart from a midweek drive, is the awesome Ezekiel Bone himself, A.D. Andrews. How are you, A.D.?
I'm good, thank you, my friends. Not too bad at all.
Genius. We knew if we put the positive vibes out of the universe, as Emma was saying, we'd get Los Angeles linking up with Lincolnshire, linking up with a Newark Book Festival, and so on. And it's just going to be an awesome wrapping up to the whole thing. Aid, would you like to share with us, for Phil's benefit initially, Ezekiel Bone, a character who surely must be a movie... I mean, Emma, you've seen the website, and you were, I think, fairly intrigued with Ezekiel Bone.
I was, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. So, yeah, I'd definitely like to learn how you kind of got involved in it or, like, started it off.
Share with us, please. Ezekiel
okay. Bone. Okay, well, I'm a historian, but an actor as well, and I came to Nottingham in the early 90s looking for work on the medieval scene. So I had long hair and a sword, a degree in history. When I got here, the medieval scene was rather lacking, so I thought I'll become Robin Hood. But when I was researching Robin Hood in the city, I came across all this interesting information on the city, which Robin Hood was no longer suitable for sort of peddling that tale. So I needed a new character, and that's when Ezekiel Bone was born. And Ezekiel Bone is now my alter ego. He plays Robin Hood and the other characters I play. So in a nutshell, he's the spirit of place made manifest, who takes on different forms, the different tours he does in different periods of history. A shape-shifting ghost, if you will.
A shape-shifting ghost. If Phil was still with us and hadn't actually bleeped out, we would have said that's an awesome thing. Hopefully Phil would send the best vibes from that point of view. Emma, any thoughts on this great storytelling scenario that actually will be part of the New York Book Festival, of course?
Well, I think it's really interesting that obviously you did, you know, history and everything like that, because then it's not just... I don't know how to put it nicely, but you know what I mean?
Bored to death with the usual ghost walks, looking for adventure through Sherwood Forest, ever dreamed about treading the boards at the magnificent Nottingham Theatre Royal, fancy strolling through the famous lace market, then Ezekiel Bone is the man for you.
It's the proper history, you know, you get the full-on kind of tour guide with the history, and I don't know, I'd love to come and...
You've hit the nail on the head, yes. The problem with ghost walks is that the content is often sort of, there was airy-fairy, you know, there's no substance to it. And, you know, but what you got here is a historian He was using the storytelling language to impart historical, factual information. So I'm using a storytelling language as a vehicle for history. And that really captures people's imaginations. And it's an artistic license which I'm using. And it's working. So my journey as Ezekiel Bone is unfolding before me all the time. And so when I'm too old for the green tights as Robin Hood, then of course I'll be able to step into the boots of Ezekiel Bone, and I'll just see where that will manifest itself in the future.
This is amazing. This is wonderful stuff. Yeah. Phil is sending his best, but he's in a lot of pain, so we work our way through that. He's just sent an email through us. Let's talk to us about the Newark Book Festival and how we can, in a couple of days' time, because we're 48 hours away from the Newark Book Festival, connect with your good self, Ezekiel, and see you possibly even in person.
Yes, well, indeed. Newark Book Festival, I'm really looking forward to this. It's got so much potential as a cultural festival, and the town of Newark is the ideal place for it. All its interesting venues and the market square and the castle. But I'll be doing it at St. Mary's Church, I think at 3 o'clock it is on the Saturday. The presentation of Robin Hood and the Monk, which is one of the original Robin Hood ballads, which is very dark and sort of bloody. But I've made it sort of, I'm trying to reach out to young kids and families with this, because it's about really in between the lines of the Robin Hood legend. It's about citizenship and green living. But I'll be embarking on this journey, this presentation of Robin Hood and the Monk for the people at the book festival. And it's going to be exciting. In the grounds of St. Mary's Church, a promenade performance. So it should be something quite unusual there.
Mm. What inspired you in particular about Robin Hood? I mean, as opposed to other medieval characters. I mean, you could have done Chaucer, I suppose.
Chaucer doesn't have the sort of the swashbuckling gung-ho, does it, of Robin Hood? And something about the Robin Hood legend, fighting the good fight against tyranny and injustice, you know, fighting to make the world a better place. Being a symbol of hope, all these things have resonance in me, and it's just my desire as an artist or as a historian to bring those into the general ken, you know, into the world today, basically. Because all these stories have home truths, don't they? Yes, behind them. And this is what I'm doing with Robin Hood, really. It's just seeking to put him on the pedestal he deserves as a figurehead of culture and the environment. Well, and the world needs heroes in the modern day, doesn't it? And I believe that Robin Hood is a fit hero for the 21st century, which is why I do this work.
And let's open it up again. Fergus, any thoughts or questions for yourself?
Yeah, I was thinking, was it because with Robin Hood, he's kind of the original folk hero in a way? Like, he's been, there's so many stories about him, the kind of mythical kind of nature of him, where it's attracted so many different versions of him, TV, film, books, whatever. Was it the original folk kind of nature of him that attracted you to him compared to other medieval kind of characters? Was it that he had this legend behind him?
Are you still there?
Yeah, I am. I've been to Nottingham before, when I was a young man, obviously, I travelled around the country, and Nottingham's a cool town, and since Robin Hood was from there, I wanted to relocate from London. Right. It just seemed to be ideal. So there's no specific choosing of Robin Hood over any other medieval characters, as it were. Just I happened to move to Nottingham, Robin Hood was from there. I was a historian. I was astounded by the wealth of history in Nottingham that had never been really celebrated. So just as a realistic guy, as a historian, as an actor, as an entrepreneur, I thought I'd do this research. And, you know, my life's path has led me to Nottingham and Robin Hood. But that's 25 years later. I'm still here, still doing it, and number one on TripAdvisor with the Robin Hood Town Tour. Wow. So it's just a happy circumstances of my life that led me here to Robin Hood.
And we would say EzekielBone.com is the go-to website to find out further details about the whole character. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephone link with us, Aid? Because I appreciate we've had lots of attempts to sort of connect together and various pre-records and other systems going down, but we made it in the end. Has it been good for you?
It has been good for me. I tell you, all these cultural enterprises are always good. They're good for the world. It's what the world needs, isn't it? Yes. And I'm happy to be coming to the Newark Book Festival because through Robin Hood, I'm doing my bit to put a bit of soul back into the world, yes?
And
this is about the dream of a better world, about hope, about freedom. It's about empowering the people. That's what it's about, and that's why I'm here.
It's almost been the theme of the show, which we'll wrap up with, and we'll do our farewells in a few seconds. Aid, many thanks indeed. I take it we will return, and you'll speak again with us again?
Hey, of course, yes. When you're ready, my friend, yes.
Marvellous. Well, excuse me, but I just couldn't resist this.
Robin Hood, Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, with his band of men. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood. He called the greatest archers to a tavern on the green. They vowed to help the people of the king. They handled all the trouble on the English country scene and still found plenty of time to sing. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, with his band of men. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood.
Well, children, would you all like to join in with me?
Yes!
Robin Hood, Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, with his band of men. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood. He came to Sherwood Forest with a feather in his cap, a fighter never looking for a fight. His bow was always ready and he kept his arrows sharp. He used them to fight for what was right.
Robin Hood, Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, with his band of men. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood.
It's always important to finish the midweek drive with a cheer in the end. Even though we took a different turn, I feel. Phil sat a bit poorly, set to step away. We'll be back for another fortnight, actually. Now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we'll have to cope. We'll wheel in some other director, I would have thought, in betwixt times. So, anyway. Succeed, you know, at the end of the day we can still walk through that. No, obviously Phil is irreplaceable. Yes. And if he's listening to us now, well, he appreciates that, but he probably won't be, so.
he
did say he had a ton of notes of the show. Maybe try he listened to the whole show as well, he said. Still, life continues, and we thank Anna Lewis. No, we don't thank Anna Lewis because she wasn't with us this week. She's back next week. We thank William Coles, Kimberly Stewart, Aid Andrews, he got there in the end.
Yes, I'm very happy about that.
Zoe Jameson, of course, Paul Zolo and Robin Pierce, and briefly Phil Leardus, because he did say hello. He was just outlining how bad his eye was and all sorts of things, which was getting a bit graphic, I thought. And then we thought, okay, stepped away, and then effectively we handed over to Aid because it was close to the Newark Book Festival. I thought it was important to sort of work our way through this. Tomorrow morning we will be back with Fergus. You'll be back tomorrow morning.
I will.
Emma, you'll be back tomorrow morning.
I will. Yeah.
Wonderful. And on the morning show, we can look forward to Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar, Diana Moran, formerly Green Goddess, now the Evergreen Goddess, perhaps, Mark Gerling, discussing the age of activity. Apparently, we need to get more active as we're getting more chronologically gifted. Ian Lennox will be with us from Tyneside. Sarah Bullimore will be talking about the 2019 Newark Book Festival, literally by that stage, only 24 hours before Emma, you and myself will be heading off. The Newark Book Festival. Aurea Duba, one of
one of News Times News Rounds famous presenters, yeah, and Strictly Come Dancing winner.
I thought the name seemed familiar. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. And Tim Pike from the Pensions Policy Institute as well, just showing the sort of range of things we'll be doing. Up next as a non-siren, it's a Siren Cinema Show. That's pretty much it, apart from the notion that it's Ant McAndrew with Muffin Song that's taking us out. And that's not great to be concerned. Never?
No.
No? Well, anyway, it'll take us up to the news and then we'll say farewell, really. So what should we actually say? I think just get well soon, Phil. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. One, two, three.
Get well soon, Phil. Oh, we can't wait to meet you. Can't believe